Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You hear the song, you know what time it is. B-Mitch is grinding on the air guitar over there. You're listening to B-Mitch and Finley every Wednesday.
The air guitar works, man.
Every Wednesday, it's time to talk Washington football and money. And there's nobody better to do it than Ben White at Morning Money Ben on Twitter, Politico's chief economic correspondent, and the official chief economic correspondent of the B-Mitch and Finley show. Ben, what's up, dude? How are you?
I am doing great. It's great to be with you guys. There's no greater honor in the world than to be the official money commentator for your show. All the things in my life, I think that is the thing that I'm most proud of so
far. We're going to make sure everyone knows that you did not give him the idea of going to get INND.
Oh, I did not give him that idea.
Yes, yes. Now you didn't give him. See, if you're gonna be the person coming in that we want to praise, we cannot put that on you.
Yeah, no. Whatever that is, I'm not sure what it is, but don't put it on me if it's a bad.
It's a penny stock that's about to be zero.
It's a penny stock sells hearing aids, Ben.
Hearing aids one, right?
The hearing aids,
but Boone Jugs one.
Yes, Boone Jugs, and I'll have you both know that it's up on the day. It's
there you go.
It's up from 0.02 to 0.3031.
Ooh,
wow. Well, you got to be like George Costanza on Seinfeld, man. Stick with it and either go down with the ship or ride it up, you know. And you remember what wound up happening with Costanza. You know, he made $10,000 or something on it. So you never know.
That's right.
It could work out for you.
That's my plan, yeah. I mean, I've already lost 80% of what I bought, so I think I'm just going to ride it out at this point.
Yeah, ride that thing all the way down.
Talking to Ben White here on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Ben, I want to start here. You're a huge Washington football team fan. I'm guessing by now you've seen Alex Smith's comments in GQ earlier this week. What do you make of Alex saying they didn't want me, I forced my way in, I was a wrench in their plans?
Really surprised me reading some of those quotes in GQ. I did not expect him to be that forthright and to say the things that he said. I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I thought, JP, your piece captured it pretty well, that, you know, both sides have kind of legitimate points here. Washington football, you can imagine that they were, A, not sure at all that he could ever recover from what was a totally horrific injury and surgeries, and then, you know, near-death experiences, and then would be petrified at the idea of putting him back on the field and what might happen. So, there's legitimacy to their being worried about it, but that he would come out and say that they were, you know, actively not wanting him back and throwing a monkey wrench into plans, that kind of thing. I was sort of surprised to hear from Alex Smith. You don't really hear him give those kind of quotes that often. So it shocked me a little bit, but I think you were right when you said that that both sides can be right in this, that maybe they didn't and they were afraid of putting him back on the field, didn't expect him to ever make it back on the field. But, you know, the idea that he was really just not wanted at all and kind of treated badly, it made me feel bad for him, and that maybe the team didn't handle it as best they could. I don't know. What's your final takeaway from that?
Yeah, I listened to it and based off of how I seen, I don't think they treated him badly. They probably were afraid. And I don't, but like the thing that kind of baffles me is, well, he was talking to GQ. That doesn't change what he said. It doesn't change what he feels. So just because you're not talking to a sports person don't mean that, well, I said it to a guy that's not a sports writer, they're going to say something different. They wrote what you said.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference who you're talking to. You said what you said. And I wonder what you guys think. Like, what does this mean for Alex's future in Washington? It doesn't sound to me like he's too thrilled with the idea of being back there. And obviously Washington's looking for another quarterback, and they've got our guy, Heinicke, and another guy on the roster. So this didn't sound like an interview with a guy who is expecting to be back in a Washington uniform.
See,
but maybe I'm wrong.
I think that's what promoted the actual interview.
Yeah,
I was in a situation with Washington back in 2000. Okay,
right.
And I found out that they were trying to hold on to me to be an insurance policy because they didn't know if Deion would stay healthy the whole year. So they wanted me to return punts, and they're trying to hold me so they could come back and pay me the minimum.
Right.
And I was told this by somebody, so I basically had to force the hand. I basically called and told North Turner I better be released or else. Okay, yeah. And I was on my way over.
Just casually threatening your boss.
So what I'm saying is, listen, he's going to make $24 million. He'll be $24 million on the cap. He's going to get $19 million bucks. They can't do that.
Yeah.
They can't do that without the knowledge that he could possibly get hurt and be out for a whole season. So
right.
He knows that's not going to happen. So what you do? You try to get out as soon as you can. So I think all this stuff, Alex does nothing that he doesn't know what the outcome can be.
What he's doing.
Yeah, so I think this was the whole plan from the get-go.
Yeah, it seems like it, that this was the first step in forcing his way out. The question is, is there a big market out there for Alex Smith and either pick up that money on his contract or the rest of it? I mean, given obviously he performed well towards the end of last season, helped us get to the playoffs, won those games, but then was injured again, and the leg was a problem. I would imagine other teams would be kind of wary of that. So I'm not sure what the Alex Smith market looks like out there. But I do kind of agree that he's not the type of person to go fly off the cuff in totally uncalculated ways and say things that he knows are going to be controversial. It makes much more sense if this was a strategic maneuver to begin to force his way out of Washington. And frankly, it doesn't seem like he's really in Washington's plans anyway. And you can kind of understand that. I mean, as much as, I love Alex and respect the fact that he made this absolutely amazing comeback, obviously deserved comeback player of the year. The fact that he got back out on a football field after what he went through is remarkable. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, this is a business that these guys are in and don't necessarily want to be paying $24 million to quarterback you don't know will ever see the field.
Totally. And it's interesting because we get to a point where we, at some point, the preamble has to stop, and we all do it. Alex Smith is incredible. He worked back from this gruesome injury. Nobody thought he could do it. What a story. What a tale of perseverance. But at some point for Ron, it's like, all right, well, I'm trying to win the division again, and I'm trying to get to the divisional round of the playoffs, and I need a quarterback that can grow with Chase Young and Cam Curl and Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. And I think that is how we've gotten to turn the page point. And I think Alex wants to be released so he can turn the page as well. And I think the likely landing spot is Jacksonville. I've talked to some folks at Chicago can make sense too. And I think it's okay for Alex to be a little frustrated. I'm guessing there's some folks with the Washington football team that are a little frustrated. That's okay. That's natural in this business. And as Alex becomes a football player again and it's no longer the incredible tale all the time, then it's okay to just let the business play out.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's right. It's just, like everybody else, I read those quotes and kind of, my jaw dropped a little
for
bit.
For sure, because he never talks like that. Yeah, absolutely.
He never does. No, he's always, very kind of very professional and anodyne and gives the usual quotes about, the team and helping the team win. And it sounded very much like a guy who is done in D.C. and ready to move on to the next thing. And frankly, that might be best for all involved.
Yeah. Ben, I wanted to transition here. And we're talking with Ben White from Politico on the BetQL guest line. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Morning Money Ben. You had some awesome tweets, some awesome just kind of reflection on Tiger Woods last night. The good news that we've all learned today is that Tiger's going to be okay. We don't know.
Thank God.
We don't know walking, playing golf, all that stuff, but he's alive. He's going to be okay. Just what were your thoughts last night when you saw this? Because clearly it mattered to you.
Yeah, I mean, it horrified me. I'll say this, that Tiger Woods has been my favorite golfer, you know, forever. I mean, since he came on the scene, and I have sort of a, I don't know the guy, obviously, but kind of an emotional connection to him, I think, generationally, partly because, you know, he's a Gen Xer and watched him come back from a lot of difficult setbacks. I mean, obviously, he's had issues in his career with injuries, but also personal demons that he struggled through, and the fact that he's persevered through all of that and then came back and won the Masters in 2019. And just obviously a absolutely titanic cultural presence and a revolution in the world of golf, you know, a person of color, an African-American, you know, multiracial guy who was kicked out of country clubs as a kid and not let in. And, you know, his dad was taking him everywhere to help him learn the game. And he just, you know, he blew away the establishment and he opened a path, you know, for others to follow. So he was revolutionary in a cultural sense. And then in an athletic sense, just amazing to watch, you know, his initial rise to power and blowing away the field and winning the Masters by 12 strokes. So it was inspirational to me. And then I've just rooted for him ever since to, you know, come back from this stuff. And I kind of knew that when everybody had him down and out, when he was, you know, thousandth in the world, you know, back in the early kind of 2010, 2011, when the injuries started, I kind of felt like he would find his way back. And the fact that he did and emerged as a, you know, a major threat again and a Masters champion. I mean, I just frankly love the guy and have for a long time. And, you know, I'm not the biggest golf fan in the world. I like the game. You know, I'll watch it sometimes, but I really only ever get excited about golf when Tiger Woods is in contention. And there's just a special quality to that and the crowds and the roars and the rest of it. So when I first saw that car on the side of the road and the state that it was in, you know, I feared the worst. I think everybody did, that this could be catastrophic and perhaps even fatal accident for him. So I was, you know, I'm not happy that his legs are all smashed up and need to be fixed with, you know, rods and pins and the rest of it. But I'm so thankful that the worst didn't happen. And that this car was evidently remarkably safe and survived these rollovers and protected him to the point where it's just these leg injuries and nothing worse. So, A, wear your seatbelts. B, drive a safe car. So I'm thrilled that Tiger's okay and that he'll recover. Frankly, I'm not too worried about whether he plays golf again. I would love it if he did, but it seems unlikely to me. I mean, given that he was already facing more back surgery and really struggling, these kind of leg injuries would take a long time to come back from. But forget all that. He's still, you know, the greatest golfer in history, in my view. I think, you know, you can argue that Jack is because he has the 18 Masters or the 18 majors, and Tiger has one fewer. But Tiger faced much tougher competition and obviously struggled through the injuries. So his legacy is intact culturally in sports, whether he plays again or not. And he can still be a mentor. He's got his foundation. You know, he's really emerged as a good father. So there's plenty more for Tiger Woods to do, whether he plays golf or not. But I do have a real emotional connection with him. And I think partly it's just because, you know, there's not that many of us Gen Xers in the world. We're a small generation. And he's kind of like my Gen X hero because I've always had a bad back too. I'm like, get out there, Tiger, with your bad back and still beat everybody's butt.
B. Mitch, you'll like this. So B was trying to figure out what kind of car it was. Ben has it on his Twitter. It's the 2021 Genesis GV80.
Okay.
And,
it has an
airbag between the driver and the passenger. It has 10 airbags.
I forget the exact
thing.
Number. There's something like 10. Is that what you said? Yeah, there's a bunch. Remarkable, you know. And I think, you know, it's a great testament to this particular car and its safety features. But also, somebody else was reminding, or maybe it was one of the sheriff deputies in the press conference yesterday, who said, "Look, you know, car safety is important." Improved greatly over the years, and it's a testament to that. You know, these cabins are so well reinforced, and in this case, all of these airbags. And he had a seatbelt on, thank God. But we made a lot of progress in that. And apparently, very dangerous curve there, you know, in LA, outside LA on the coast. And perhaps he took it a little bit too fast. But thank God this car was as safe as it was.
And this car looks dope.
Listening to you, and I think that's the way I went after. You hear that things weren't life-threatening. Then I went to, okay, how do you tell your kid or someone else about this? Okay, slow down.
Yeah.
Don't be distracted. Wear your seatbelt. And then I told JP, I said, and I go get me a Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
You know, I think that's the way you think after you get past that. You know, I wasn't thinking about anything else, but is he okay? Fine. And then now, what are all the positives that come from this whole deal?
Yes, right, right.
And looking at this car, it looks like a Cayenne meets a Range Rover. This thing is
sweet. Dope looking. They are absolutely sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of a tank, you know, in a way. I mean, a slick looking one, but the fact that it's got that kind of cabin is pretty huge. And yeah, the other thing I would say to the kids is just like, you know, take it easy on really sharp curves where maybe you're not too familiar with the terrain. I mean, we don't know exactly how fast he was going. There was just a reference to maybe he was going a little bit faster than the speed limit. But I was also glad to hear that he was not under the influence or inebriated. Obviously, he's had issues with opioid abuse in the past, and I'm glad he seems to have gotten beyond that. And I know there were, you know, sort of snarky people chiming in saying, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. So I'm really glad that it didn't.
Totally agree.
That, you know, it was totally simply a you know, an accident that apparently a lot of them happened there, and accidents happen to a lot of people. So we can just be thankful that he is alive and cognizant and talking, and we can worry about rehab and golf stuff later.
Well, Ben, I got to ask you one money question, as you are our chief money correspondent. I read your Morning Money column, and there's always this great fear of inflation. It's like a small receiver going over the middle. Inflation is always looming to rip someone's head off. But
exactly.
We're always scared of it, but it's always like, but it didn't happen. What the hell is it? Like, people just print money, and then the cost of a soda is $25?
Yeah, it's kind of the way it goes. I mean, inflation in its simplest terms, it is a little bit like, you know, Sean Taylor coming over the middle about to rip your head off. And it can, if it gets bad. It's just an increase in prices. It's when, you know, the price of stuff you buy on a regular basis, you know, food, gas, whatever, rises. And we're okay. Generally, the economy is okay if inflation is relatively slow, like around a 2% pace is basically what the Fed likes to see. That's, you know, natural good inflation and gets people to be out there spending and there's money in the system. It's when it gets much faster than that and prices start to rise sharply, and then you can't buy the stuff you used to buy with the same money that you had. You have less purchasing power. And I'm not going to get too wonky in it for a sports audience, but the fear here is that, you know, Congress and the Fed have been dumping huge amounts of money into the system to help us recover from COVID-19. That tends to be inflationary when you pump a lot of money into the system, because it's just worth less if there's more of it. And the other thing is, you know, we're going to come out of COVID with the vaccines and the rest of it. And there's a lot of people have a lot of money that they're sitting on from stimulus checks and from just not spending money on stuff because we don't go anywhere or do anything. So there'll be a ton of money being spent, and there's less supply, which means, you know, there are fewer businesses, there are fewer restaurants, fewer bars, a lot of stuff is closed. So if you get a ton of demand, a lot of people spending money with less supply, then you get prices shooting up fast because, you know, airlines can charge more for seats, and hotels can charge more, and bars and restaurants can charge more. So there is this big kind of fear out there of runaway inflation, but we just haven't seen any of it yet. And we still do need help out there. So basically, you know, Democrats, the Biden administration, and the Fed have said, don't worry about inflation right now. We take a little more inflation. It's fine. And if for some reason it gets a little faster than we want, then the Fed can do what it does, which is raise interest rates, which makes stuff a little bit less money in the system. It's harder to get a new car and other stuff. So there's tools to fight it. But I totally agree with you right now. It's a big fear, but it has not materialized in any way.
All right. If anybody needed to know what inflation was, it's Sean Taylor running over the middle downhill at Freddie Mitchell. And Freddie Mitchell pulling up.
You know, speaking of my heroes, I'm a Tiger up there, and obviously Sean T.
Don't say Freddie Mitchell. No relation.
Ben, we appreciate your time always, man.
Coming right at you, you know, taking that punt and taking it to the house.
Everybody
should be with you guys.
Always, always, always. Go follow Morning Money Ben. He covers Tiger. He covers inflation. He loves Sean Taylor. He loves B. Mitch, and we love him. Thanks again, dude.
All right, Ben.
All right, brothers. Talk to you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel. There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, and exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game. And if you win, they even get your winnings to you in as little as 24 hours. That's the thing they're supposed to do. Get you your money as soon as they possibly can. So right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and they'll get that money to you. You don't have to worry about the money going away. You're going to win because you get your money right back. It's going to be in site credit. But listen, one of the things I like doing when you get to the same game parlay, you look for a player who's doing many, many different things and always pushing the envelope. Russell Westbrook right now is starting to become what he's always was supposed to be. A guy who could get a triple-double. He's averaging damn near that. So how about picking the Wiz to win, and then you pick Russell Westbrook to get a triple-double? That will put your boost way up. You'll win a lot of money. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code Brian so that they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Brian. You have to be 21 years or older, present in Virginia, first online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We got to get a camera on B-Mitch when Prince is on.
Cameras, we need a Twitch. I wouldn't be doing the things I do.
Landfill and Dark, can you figure out what Twitch is and how we can set it up?
My boss is Mr. McQueen. Daddy didn't like my kind because I was a bit too leisurely.
How long you want to go? I'll go the whole way if you want me.
Nah, I'm pretty good.
All right.
I drink my shake anyway.
I noticed that. We're back. B. Mitch and Finley. Big thank to all our guests today. Ron Cyrak, Craig Lachlan, Garnet Hathaway, Ben White. It's been a fun, packed show.
Yes.
But the highlight of the show, and I don't say this lightly, is not Vic running into the producer's room, whatever he's doing. The highlight of the show was the call of the day. Our guy PJ and Rusty.
PJ!
Landfill, I believe you have
the
audio.
We found some history with PJ.
Give me a sample of PJ and Reston's excitement and commitment.
And I'm not like the obnoxious kind to like, you know, meet somebody when they're eating dinner with their family. But it's like, man, that's Art Monk. By the way, I saw Art Monk do like 100 push-ups with Monty Coleman on his back. Monty Coleman is a big man. Monty Coleman also came to that Dick's Sporting Goods. Monty Coleman is such a nice guy. He was apologizing, embarrassed that his two kids were buying like a water gun or like a pellet gun. I'm like, no, man, it's cool.
All right, that's a good sample. I'd love to know where PJ saw Monty Coleman, Art Monk doing the push-ups on Monty with Monty Coleman on his back.
He's gonna call and tell you.
I bet it was at Dick's Sporting Goods. Don't you think?
Yeah. So, I need to find that. Now this Dick's Sport. Now I vaguely remember the story he tells. But I've been to so many of the Dicks in the area that I'm wondering exactly which one. If he's talking about one near Reston, I think there used to be one near Reston.
There's one near the park, near Washington Football Team Park at the Dulles Town Center.
That's fairly new.
Okay. Because that's where
those days he's talking about.
You remember when Sua Cravens was released and he did his jersey giveaway? Yeah. That's one of the weirdest, wildest events I've ever covered. That was an interesting one.
Most people were looking at, oh man, so nice. That's trying to buy the public opinion of you. That's the way I look at that. In that situation,
knowing Sua a little bit, he was just giving them. I think he wanted them out of his life also. But yeah, you're probably right.
How many of them was it?
B, it was boxes.
That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, man, 14 years, I didn't have a box of them.
That's true.
Come on, man, please.
But listen, one thing that was interesting about PJ and Reston's call is that he got to meet all of these people at a sporting goods store in Reston.
Yeah.
So during one of the breaks, Landfill told me a story, and I thought it was incredible given today's events. Landfill, if you can.
So here's the craziest thing. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, there was a new sporting goods store opening in Sterling. It was a Sports Authority store. And for the grand opening, they got one of the most popular, best football players for the local football team to go to the grand opening. And I arrived. I went to the grand opening with my dad, and that was the first time I ever met Brian Mitchell.
I was just about to say, I was at that Sports Authority.
You got to ring the bell for that. What are the odds? What are the odds? What are we, 15 years later? 20 years later?
Yeah.
That we're now all working together.
Yep.
And more importantly, Landfill's story of first meeting B-Mitch is significantly better than my first time meeting B-Mitch in the men's room after Brian had eaten a bunch of crabs.
You see, Landfill knows how to bring good stuff to the air. You just bring, I can't say the word I want to say that you bring to the air.
So we've been talking about Alex Smith all day, and deservedly so. His comments were just not out of line, but out of character.
Out of character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to pivot a little bit. We've been doing this series all week on some internal decisions the Washington football team needs to make about what they want to do going forward beyond Alex. So we wrote a story. This is Pete Haley and I wrote these stories on NBCSportsWashington.com. Yesterday was Brandon Scherff. They're going to re-sign Brandon Scherff. They should re-sign Brandon Scherff. There's not a big debate there.
Yeah.
Today, Ronald Darby. I don't think this is as cut and dry as maybe some do. I posted a tweet earlier at JP Finley NBCS, and here are your options. Ronald Darby hits free agency. They must bring him back. It'd be nice to bring him back. Or, I'm curious where you are, B.
I think, I'm not going to say you must bring anybody back. I wouldn't even say they must bring Brandon Scherff back if they were to replace him with somebody that plays as well as he did. But I think Ronald Darby deserves a chance to come back, and I think he's just starting to come in because he played well down the stretch. If we all feel that Taylor Heinicke deserves a chance to come back based off of them five quarters, Ronald Darby damn sure deserves a chance to be back here.
Well, and I think that's fair. To me, the issue was cost, right?
Yeah.
Because Ronald Darby was a second-round pick from the Buffalo Bills in 2015, had never played 16 games in his career. The previous 3 years before 2020, he had IR stints every year, meaning he's missing at least eight games or the end of a season. This year, he's able to go 16 games. And to your point, Mitch, and we talked about this on our pre- and post-game shows, early in the year, teams were going at Ronald Darby. They were targeting him. But he did seem to pick the system up as the year went on. And as that defense grew together and grew better, I think he was a big part of that.
He was. But see, this thing about it. I think Ronald Darby, his agent, they're going to ask for certain things. But I think every team out there is going to think just like Washington probably would. We want to pay you, but this is the first time you play 16 games. So let's do this. We're going to pay you accordingly, and then to get the number where you think you should be, we're going to put some incentives in here. Let's see. Because if you play 16 games, you'll get there. I mean, you got to get creative in things of that nature. Now, you don't want to just tell them, look, we're not putting you at that number. We're not trying to get there. No, be creative. Listen, players are as competitive as they come. So if I'm trying to get 10, I'm throwing out a number. I don't know if that's the number. And I get 8 or 7.5 with the incentives and things of that nature there that could get me up to that. Well, the incentive's going to get me over 10.
Sure.
That challenge right there, most guys take. But if you just come in and say 7 and that's it, you're going to lose them because somebody else will come in and be creative.
Well, so he played the 2020 season on a one-year, $3 million deal. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a ton of competition for Ronald Darby. And I wonder if you watch Ron last year and even going back to Carolina, a lot of times they'll make big swings for a big name. But if that doesn't happen, they like to value shop. And the value shopping largely worked in 2020. Logan Thomas, absolutely. Darby worked out.
It's the expectation.
That's okay, a huge
that
part
they were
it.
Dealing with. And because this is the whole thing about it. When you first come in, you're trying to find out what you have, get your core there. Ron now has won the NFC East. So the expectation is now to be better than winning just the NFC East. So you can't keep bargain shopping when your end goal is even more now. So, yeah, that worked for the first season. That's not going to work for 4 or 5 seasons.
We'll see. But where I also will give Ron credit is the guys they know it's not working, they just cut. They're willing to cut bait even if it means taking
a
little
hit. I'm with that.
We saw Sean Davis got released. I don't know. They're going to have to overhaul that cornerback position entirely. Fabian Moreau's a free agent. I mean, you've got Kendall Fuller.
How often was Fabian used last year?
About as often as me and Lane.
So it seems like that's something already has been put into works, into the plans. So you're looking at Kendall, you're looking at Ronald, and Kendall's back. Then you look at Jimmy.
I think you're looking at a draft pick, and whether or not you bring Darby in, you're also talking about a free agent. Maybe it's another veteran similar to Darby, somebody that you think you're giving a little run at upside.
2012 when when the Giants beat New England?
No, 11.
11?
2012 was so Ravens, Niners.
Do you think Kendall and Ronald and Jimmy are better than the cornerback, the secondary of the Giants team that year?
I'd have to go back
and look. Yes. I'll tell you off the bat. The reason I asked this question, they weren't good.
Right.
But that front allowed them to look damn good at times. I believe naturally Kendall and Ronald are better than them. And this is the whole thing. The front that we have, that we give all the praise to, they can make average look better if they consistently do what they're capable of or what they expect it to be. So I'm saying you may not have to go pay top dollar for a corner just yet because you got a demolition crew up front. If they take that step and grow, then the people behind them look better. You got a guy in a six, seven round draft pick in Curl who looks better than people you spend money on.
Sure.
So that you may have an opportunity to add other parts because you may not have to go to the upper echelon to try to better your secondary. Your front is going to make your secondary better.
You always want a demolition crew on your side. Well said, B. Mitch. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it is time for Heard It Here First. We'll make our picks for the evening before we go to Grant and Danny right here, 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley. I think it's all downhill from here, B. We get done Wednesday, then it's Thursday, then it's Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but now
we're sliding down the hill now.
That's right.
Lindsay-voiling this thing over here.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. None of the boys had a particularly good day yesterday. I had the Hoyas plus 4.5 at home, which looked pretty good at halftime. Unfortunately, they play a whole game.
Yeah.
Landfill, how'd you do? What'd you have?
I had the over in the Clippers-Wizards game. I think the number was 233.5, and I think the actual total was something around 250, so I got that one.
They went way past it. All right, so I am 1-1 on the week. You are 1-1 on the week, Landfill?
I am, in fact, 1-1.
Dar, where are you at?
I'm 2-0 after Bayern Munich took care of whoever they played yesterday.
Well, and so we're clear, Dar was the one that was very worried about people taking moneyline favorites.
And he keeps doing
it. And Dar has taken two moneyline favorites so far this week.
He shook us up.
Is that accurate?
He got us.
It's accurate, but I also took a road slight favorite.
Which was because B-Mitch showed me yesterday, Bayern Munich was like minus 170.
It was minus 120 on FanDuel.
When I looked, it was minus 2 something.
What was your other one then?
USC was minus 167.
Yeah, that's
against
junk.
Oregon.
And that's also
set us up.
That's a bet. Like soccer, those are the bets people make largely because they are money line bets. You would never take the USC money line minus 170 ever in a million years.
I mean, I put money on it that night, and
you
won.
You said you laid the points in the bet you put in.
I did that too. Yes, I felt comfortable because it was a 5-star BetQL bet.
B. Mitch, Dar is 2-0. He's leading in the clubhouse. What do you have? What'd you have, B?
What did I take yesterday?
I think you had the Wiz.
Yeah, I don't want to discuss it.
All right, and you'll notice we're back to our win and in policy on the Wizards. They lost. We didn't talk about them much today. Right. Now, we had plenty to talk about with Alex and Tiger, but does anybody have their pick for tonight ready?
Oh, I've got my pick for tonight ready, JP.
Attaboy, Landfill. What do you got? What do you got?
I have the Bulls. They're playing the Timberwolves. I got Bulls minus 4.
Bulls minus 4?
Bulls minus 4.
Okay. I have no idea why, but good for you.
Bulls minus 4.
Wow. The Lakers are 9-point underdogs to the Jazz?
I can see that.
I mean, they're struggling and the Jazz are damn good, but man, that seems like a lot. I think I know where I'm going. Dar, where are you going?
I was going back and forth on it. I think I'm going to take Clemson on the road -2.5 against Wake Forest.
Clemson on the road -2.5 against Wake Forest. All right. B, do you know where you're going?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, that makes two of us. UVA NC State tonight. UVA has royally screwed me the last couple times I've picked them.
That game is at -9 now. Lakers.
Why is Marquette playing Carolina tonight?
Why?
That's odd, right? At this time of year to have a Big East ACC matchup?
This is based off a 2020 season. Anything could happen.
That's true. It could have been scheduled a while
Make-up
ago.
Game, yeah, anything of that nature.
I got mine.
Where are you going with?
I'm going to Piscataway. Piscataway, New Jersey. It's a real place. I don't know why you looked at me like that. I'm taking Rutgers -3.5 against Indiana. Rutgers coming off. Maryland thumped them. And Rutgers is pretty good, man. They got Ron Harper's son. Dude's a baller. Indiana's coming off a tough loss to Michigan State. But I don't know. I just think Rutgers is tougher than the Hoosiers. You know what would be nice? This is our first night. The Wiz play tomorrow night. The Caps play tomorrow night. Maryland, for whatever reason, has a week off. The Hoyas got drilled last night. It'd be nice to have a Maryland game tonight, wouldn't it? I know I would settle in and watch a Maryland game.
Yeah.
Alas, we don't. You know what I'm going to end up doing tonight because there's no sports on?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to watch Below Deck.
Oh, Lord.
You
just stuck on Below Deck.
Ripping reruns of Below Deck, me and my wife sitting there. Unless anybody has any other ideas, maybe I'll find that Britney Spears documentary.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's on Hulu. It's very good.
Tell me about it. I really want to. I want to know what happened.
What would you rather watch, the Britney Spears documentary or Below Deck?
Paint dry.
I think you'd watch Britney. Your daughters had to be into Britney.
They probably were, but I'm not.
I mean, it's a Louisiana success story gone awry.
It's a typical story. Kids go out, make money, parents get more crooked than them, and then they try to act like there's something wrong with the kid when something ultimately wrong with that damn parent.
Well, maybe I don't need to watch it.
That's pretty much the summary of it right there.
That's the summary of it.
Does anybody else think B. Mitch is stalling because he doesn't have his pick
yet? Oh, 100%. I'm going to take the Lakers with the 9.
Lakers +9?
Yeah.
All right. Ready for a discussion topic for tomorrow?
Go for it.
Jonathan Allen.
Yes.
Has been a productive player for the Washington football team. He's been a good player. Mm-hmm. Would you say he's been a great player?
No.
I agree.
Great is another level. And I think that's the ultimate thing. I think for us and for a lot of the players, they compare themselves to just what has happened in this city. I compare it to what you're doing against the great ones around the league. Great. Not close.
So the 2021 season, John Allen will play on the fifth-year rookie option on his contract for the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about D-tackle John Allen.
Yes.
If they want to get a contract extension done, now is probably the time. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but I want everybody to do their homework on that overnight. Think about if you want to get a contract extension done with John Allen. He's only missed one game in the last three seasons. His sack totals have dipped, but he was certainly a part of a really good defense this last year. Something that's an interesting one, and I'll tell you why, because there's a lot of moving pieces surrounding what you do with John Allen as it pertains to what you do with the rest of that roster.
Ooh.
A lot going on there, B.
Yeah, I'm with that.
What are you doing this evening?
Nathan.
You want to come over and watch Below Deck?
Actually, I'm going to meet someone to talk about windows.
Everybody needs windows.
That's first.
Everybody needs windows.
But I'm not coming over and watch Below Deck, no.
Well, does it help that I might grill turkey burgers?
I'm not coming watch Below Deck.
You want me to bring you a turkey burger tomorrow?
You can cook steak. I'm not coming watch Below Deck.
Thank you very much for listening. Grant and Danny are up next.
A drive-by, pick up my steak and keep moving.
A drive-by steak eating. The world ain't ready for that. Not in the middle of a pandemic. Thank you for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
episode.